Short bit.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Elder Nyamazana, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you, my brother? How is it?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How is everything?
Well, everything is fantastic. We're excited to be speaking to you this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope your day's been fine.
My day has been fine. I'm also happy to talk to you.
Fantastic. Well, we're talking about childhood discipline and adult criminality, and I think there should be a link there. We'll check if there's any link at all. Now, to those who are joining us, listening to this conversation, please, you are welcome to make sure that you know, if you have any contributions, if you have any questions to Elder Nyamazana, please send them to +27 734703520. Now, the family is the fundamental building block of human society. Consequently, the foundation of any nation is only as strong as its families. There is much to be learned about the effects of a family life on delinquency and crime. Now, today we are focusing on discipline and how it may affect the future of a child. So, my elder, please speak to us about the connection between childhood discipline, be it overly strict or harsh or non-existent, and delinquency and criminality in adulthood.
Thank you very much. This is a very, very important topic. Firstly, I think I'll refer to the Bible. I think it's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22, which says that train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows up, he will not depart from that path. Mm-hmm. So you will notice that it is in the family and from the parents that children learn discipline. So mm-hmm. if there's no discipline at all, it means a child is going to learn from the world. Mm. And, he's going to learn from the world. So let me just talk about the socialization process. So you will notice that the socialization process, it goes through some phases. So we have the first phase, which is the primary socialization.
Right.
And the family is the primary socialization agent, which is also the most important one. Then you go to the tertiary, which is their school, the other institution, the media, and all those things.
Mm.
So the primary agent, the family, should instill values in the child. So as a parent, when you have a child, you need to have the objective to say, what kind of a child do I want to raise? And if that is not missing, then it means the world to actually put everything that they want in that child. So that's when you end up having like criminal behavior, drug and substance abuse, and all those other social ills, if there's no behavior, because the child is not guided. But if there's also harsh behavior, like what you rightly said, then it means there's a challenge. So for me, the right approach of addressing this issue is maybe using like what you call a collaborative approach and an authoritative approach. So you can be authoritative without being authoritarian.
Okay, you can be authoritative without being authoritarian.
Exactly. So some parents are too authoritarian. They just dictate, things on children. They don't explain. They don't consult. The process should be collaborative. So if a child is not part of the disciplining process, if they think that they are being treated as a robot, resentment builds, bitterness builds. And when they get to a certain age, like 16 years or 18 years, they will then start to explore themselves and they can actually start to rebel. So some of the behaviors that children actually manifest in adulthood, they're actually rebellion. They may be actually rebelling to say, you've been treating me this way, harshly, authoritarian, and all those things. Now it's my turn to actually show you that I can do these things without you.
It's a very delicate balancing act, as it sounds, because on the one hand, you really want to be firm, in whatever kind of discipline you want to mete out, and not be lenient, because also leniency may breed a problematic child in the future. So it's quite a serious, a balancing act. How do parents actually attain that? Because it looks like it's a daily issue of a discipline in the home. It's a daily activity, and it could be tiring if you're going to be keeping that balancing act. Not so?
Thank you very much. So like what I said, a parent can actually be authoritative without being authoritarian. So an authoritative parent is one who seeks to understand, one, his or her child, their child. They need to seek to understand their child. Number two, they also need to seek to understand the thinking processes and the surroundings of the child. Mm. They also need to be able to get the feedback of the child in terms of what they are doing, to consult. So disciplining a child is not about the do's and don'ts and all those things. It's also about explaining why certain things should be done and why certain things should not be done. Mm-hmm. But done, that should be done in a very actually loving approach, in an engagement approach. So you can be firm, but at the same time, showing love to the child. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. the most important thing. So parents should learn to be firm, should learn to be, you know, authoritative, but without being too harsh. Now, the problem with parents, you know, sometimes they want to be too harsh, and if they're also being too harsh, they're trying to instill discipline, while it's themselves, they are not disciplined as well. Mm. That's another challenge.
Yeah. That's the problem. That's the problem. And I've had many parents, I think myself included, to say that, you know, in our days, we used to do this and this. Why is it so difficult? Get up and do it. Without considering that the days perhaps are not as they were, you know, yesteryear.
Exactly. Things have changed. So as a parent, one, you need to be a role model to a child, you know. That's the most important thing, because children actually learn by seeing mostly. That's why if you look at it at earlier grades, when they are grade 1, grade 2, they use most things that are tangible, physical things to count. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they prefer things that they see. So as parents, the most important thing is to be role models, then explain why we do certain things. So you teach by doing.
Yeah, quite important, leading by example. So it's not do as I say, it's do as I do.
Exactly. So you notice that if you use that approach, it means then you can then be authoritative, because you're saying, you know, look, this is what you're doing here. And you also try to get the ideas to say, why are you doing this? Where are you getting this? Then you collaborate. Yeah, because to be honest with you, they learn from us children. So sometimes when they actually grow up, if you're actually instructing them things that you don't want to do yourself, then when they grow up, they actually start regarding you as a hypocrite. So the things that you then start talking about, they may not actually listen to those things.
Yeah, that's actually true. Now, how does a parent correctly measure, and this may be difficult, but you may advise here, how do they measure the severity or intensity of a disciplinary action to make it correctional rather than punitive? Or is it actually supposed to be punitive, or is it supposed to be a punishment?
Thank you very much. Punishment, yes, it can be used. It can be used as a disciplinary method, but it has to be punishment that is reasonable, right? It has to be punishment that, for example, there are some people that actually end up physically abusing children, maybe sometimes even starving children, and also maybe, you know, chasing them away from home, and they end up suffering, you know, so many consequences. So I think the most important thing is to then come up with some disciplinary measures that actually help the child to see his or her mistake, to see their mistake, but also realizing that, you know, my parent loves me, they are not ill-treating me and all those things. There are quite a number of punishing methods that are there that can actually, for example, if your child loves cartoons, for example, or they love television, and they don't do something that you don't expect, you can actually punish them by not allowing them to watch that.
Okay.
You know, to say, if you don't do this today, I'm not going to be watching television. It's something that he or she wants. It's something that they want. But by being deprived of that thing, for them, it's a punishment. But it's not actually very severe and harsh.
You know, Eloy, I can always almost hear a parent listening saying, this brother doesn't know how cheeky and these children can be, how silly and stubborn these children can be, and they really need you to just toughen up your hand. Because the parents are frustrated out there because they've meted out some punishments or punitive measures, you know, like what you're saying, but some of these things seem to be too weak.
Yes. We also turn to the Bible, because if you go to the Bible, it says spare a rod and spare the child. But it's true. Yeah, but it's true. You can actually apply some, you know, some corporal, but not very. The thing one thing that parents should know is that if you find yourself being angry when disciplining a child, then you have a problem. You need to, emotions should not guide the process. You need to be very open. Yes, of course, the children sometimes do things that make us parents angry. I'm also a parent, but what we need to do when you're disciplining them, let's be reasonable. Let's engage with them to say, my child, you have done this thing. If I'm going to apply the rod, I'm going to do, you should never do that out of anger. You know what I mean? You should be able to control yourself. We have had so many cases of parents who end up even killing children because they are doing things out of anger. So the thing is about, we need to engage. Even if we are punishing, then punishment should not be driven by anger, but should be driven by the appropriate disciplining of a child.
Very important. I like what you said earlier, that if you find yourself angry while punishing the child, then you've got to say, okay, this definitely something is not right. Perhaps take a step back and cool down and really reflect on,
exactly.
I mean, why are you angry? And I do know that parents get really angry. And I've seen on social media, others would throw objects, at the child because of the anger. And you are saying, no, that's not the way to do it.
And my brother, the topic that we're talking about is how is that then connected to criminality? But
yes.
What you don't want is, because bitterness and resentment is a child sometimes, that's why they're even protected by the law, because they are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So at a certain age, they are not able to revenge, they are not able to fight back, but they actually notice that they are being ill-treated. Do you know the behavior of the children that usually manifested maybe during teenage, pubes and all those things? Usually, it actually points to childhood trauma, things that happened when they were still young, and some of the behaviors could actually be revenge.
Mm.
But they're now saying, you used to ill-treat me when I was young, and now I'm old, I'm now able to revenge. So, even because if you are disciplining somebody with love, the children can also even pick it. No, my mom is actually beating me, is actually doing this to me, but the child can actually pick that this is being done in love. It's painful, but it's being done in love.
Mm.
But if you're just, abusing somebody, just beating without explaining, you don't want to show lead by example and all those things, then it becomes a challenge. And if you're disciplining children, also need to that's another important point.
Yeah.
We should also appreciate where they do the right.
Yes. Very important. Very important. And compliment,
yes. And compliments. But sometimes as parents, we focus more on the don'ts, but we hardly appreciate and compliment where they do things right.
Mm-hmm.
And that also breeds bitterness as well.
I don't know how far research has gone in linking this to criminality and actually proving that the acts of criminality in adulthood come as a result of how the children were raised. What's the situation there?
We don't have studies, like what you are saying. We don't have much research around the area. But what I know is adult behavior is actually usually a reflection of what happened when a person was a child. Things that are normally more popular, issues like childhood trauma, they usually manifest in adulthood. And issues that are So you notice that some people, when they are traumatized, that's why they end up even resort to drug and substance use. They resort to issues like criminal behavior. Issues like criminal behavior, drug and substance, they are actually even linked to trauma. They are linked to low self-esteem. So if discipline is not done properly, even the esteem of the child is actually affected. And then that can actually result in them committing crimes as they grow.
Very, very interesting. Well, my elder, we've got to leave it here. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Very eye-opening conversation indeed. Thank you so much and be blessed.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.